This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Absolutely hilarious stuff from the hilarious Joey Kanish. That was like a pretty all-time Mountain West rant he gave us at the end there, punctuated by the "oh." That's very good stuff from Kanish, Ken.
Logan, Utah, baby.
baby.
He said, "I found different ways to say Utah State about not even got up the thesaurus for Utah State." Basically, the boys from Logan, something special at Logan, Utah State. The guys from Utah. So we really went through the whole Rolodex.
The lives of Salt Lake City.
Right.
John Stockton and Carl Malone. Quinn right. Snyder and Donovan Mitchell. Alex Smith and Urban Meyer.
Keith Van Horn. That's all right.
Was it Majerus? It was, right?
Yeah, it was Majerus. Now, technically, I know Majerus. That. I'm aware that was Utah, but we're just keeping the Utah references going here.
No, I know. I just wanted to make sure that I had that right, that it was Majerus, because you mentioned Van Horn. That jogged the memory, of course. So great stuff there from Joey Kanish. 20 minutes from now, we'll turn our attention to golf for this weekend on the PGA Tour. James Mazzola, For Profit Podcast, going to give us some winners. 40 minutes from now, Power Hour, which is the final hour. All our bets for tonight. The Red Hot Bill Matz on the NHL, 8 games tonight on the ice. Top 25 Nick with the play on Purdue, Florida State. All of Ken's college basketball plays, which I will tell. Ken and I on the NBA, and then overnights to close the show here on You Better, You Bet. But right now on the show, we continue the gaggle of guests in hour number 3, and we are very excited to welcome to the program in what is, I'm sure, an extremely busy time for our next guest. So we very much appreciate him taking a few minutes out of his day to join us here on You Better, You Bet with all the insane breaking news in the world of college football. And that is our pal, Adam Rittenberg, who is on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg, host for SiriusXM College Sports Radio, senior college football writer for our friends over at ESPN. Adam, welcome back to You Better, You Bet. It's Nick and Ken here on a terrific Tuesday. Hope it was a great Thanksgiving for you and your family. How you doing? You getting any sleep, man, with all this crazy news going on in the coaching carousel?
Yeah, not a whole lot, Nick and Ken, but it already was a historic coaching carousel just in terms of how many firings or dismissals happened early on. And then certainly the news of the last couple of days with Lincoln Riley to USC, Brian Kelly to LSU has taken it to another level. So, definitely busy couple weeks or a couple days, and certainly will remain that way. Although a lot of these hires have already been made, guys. I'm just going through the list. There's obviously some big ones that are still available, namely Oklahoma and Notre Dame, but a lot of the major jobs have now filled.
Well, and Adam, that's kind of the crazy part too. And I'll start with Brian Kelly and just like the dynamics of that move, basically. So like him going to LSU and the future of LSU, that's almost like a next summer conversation or next spring conversation from a gambling standpoint. But for Notre Dame and what's kind of left behind here and whether Kelly takes both coordinators is kind of interesting too. Maybe you can speak to that and what we expect. Like, this is a team that, based on results that we get Saturday, maybe in the college football playoff and has no coach or does not have the coach that they had to start the year. At least I'm sure they'll have an interim coach. But what's kind of your understanding of, like, if Notre Dame makes it and, bettors have to figure out how to play the Irish in a game where it's a different head coach? Are the coordinators going to stay? Just, what's kind of the latest news and information surrounding what's left at Notre Dame as they may be headed for the college football playoff?
Right. Well, yeah, it's very much a stay tuned type situation. The athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, earlier today said that they may not actually name a formal interim coach for their postseason. They'll obviously have somebody who's designated to make the head coaching decisions on game day. But I think they would like to keep, Marcus Freeman on the defensive side, Tommy Reese on the offensive side. They want to keep them in their sort of play calling roles. So maybe it's a Brian Polian or somebody else, a veteran assistant who can sort of handle the game day responsibilities. But I think the subplot here is whether any coaches agree to go with Brian Kelly to LSU and are no longer with Notre Dame in the lead up to their postseason. We'll see where they're ranked tonight in the penultimate CFP rankings. Notre Dame's sixth right now. Could certainly rise a little bit after the weekend, even though they won't play a game. We'll just see if they ultimately can get into the top four. And if so, yeah, they're going to be heading to the playoff without their head coach, which is a stunning development. I guess not entirely surprising, but definitely unfortunate for those players. And you kind of wonder, guys, with an expanded playoff likely coming, whether we're going to see more of this, you know, coaches that are leaving teams that could make the college football playoff.
It's incredibly fascinating. It's something that college football is probably going to have to address, and sooner rather than later. And we'll see what happens, obviously, with Luke Fickell. With Cincinnati potentially going to make the playoff, playing in the American Championship game coming up this weekend. And Fickell obviously rumored to be at the top of Notre Dame's wish list here to replace Brian Kelly. But we'll talk about that when and if it happens. We'll get to the games this weekend, Adam. But just curious, and I know like there's nothing actionable right now for us to bet on, but just curious from like a long-term perspective here, kind of how you see it playing out for Brian Kelly over in Death Valley and LSU, going up against Saban, obviously, every year in the SEC West head-to-head, and how, and if you think this is going to work, Brian Kelly is the new head coach at LSU.
Well, I think one thing about Brian is that he's comfortable being in a bright spotlight. I mean, you're the head coach of Notre Dame for 12 years. That's like dog years. I mean, you know, he's used to being scrutinized. He's used to having a lot of attention, how to handle the media. I think the most interesting thing will be just adjusting to the recruiting element at LSU, which is just different than Notre Dame. Not that Notre Dame doesn't recruit hard, but it's a different, you know, pool of players. You know, LSU recruits more locally and regionally than Notre Dame, which is more of a national recruiting operation. And I just wonder, you know, if we're going to see a different recruiter out of Brian Kelly than maybe we saw at Notre Dame when he, you kind of delegated a lot of that to the assistants and wasn't really known as a sort of round-the-clock, obsessive, relentless recruiter. That would be my concern if I'm LSU, is that, you know, Nick Saban is that way. Jimbo Fisher is that way. Kirby Smart is that way. From what I've been told about Brian Kelly from people that have worked with him, he's not that way. So can he become that, or can he become a version of that with some really good assistants around him to be able to assemble the talent that he'll now be able to access at LSU that certainly I think on the whole is a little bit better than the talent that he was able to access at Notre Dame. But that recruiting piece is so important.
And Adam, you talk about recruiting and big time schools. I mean, the other seismic news obviously that we had over the weekend was Lincoln Riley after Oklahoma they have a double digit lead in the third quarter in Bedlam. And then from there, we get to lose the game outright. Don't make the Big 12 title game. Lincoln Riley is going to USC in a span of like 5 hours. It's like absolutely unbelievable. And this was after, obviously, he was kind of rumored or linked to LSU a little bit. And maybe that reporting was a little flimsy by the people who were doing it, but it was possible he was going
to
leave. But just
to be fair, he didn't lie. He didn't lie when he said, "I'm not going to take the LSU job." Next question.
That's true.
So, to be fair,
right.
He didn't lie.
Just, there was just no follow up question. Like, well, are you going to take a different job? So Lincoln Riley goes to USC. And just the ripple effect and wave of players, coaches, whatever that goes with them is kind of crazy. Maybe something you can speak to. So we can do both sides of this. Oklahoma, obviously very interesting as well. They have a bowl game coming up this postseason. We don't know where or against who. But for USC and Lincoln Riley, this kind of new marriage that's been forged here, like, what do you make of this move? What do you think of, you know, USC's prospects now that they have a potentially really, really big time head coach?
Yeah, I love this move on a number of levels. And you know, we all expect it to work out, but I just almost think the idea of it was important for USC. And what I mean by that is that USC, despite its history and even some of, you know, the recent-ish history under Pete Carroll, they didn't conduct themselves like a tier one program for a long time. They didn't provide the resources for their coach. They kept coaches that they shouldn't have kept. I mean, they thought from a very insular point of view in terms of hiring both head coaches and athletic directors. And so I really credit Mike Bone, the athletic director that's currently there, who came from the outside, who really wasn't their first or second choice, but he had that outside perspective, and they've been preparing for this search for a lot longer than you know, even since they fired Clay Helton, and then they were able to execute. You mentioned the Bedlam game. You know, I was told from sources at USC that if Oklahoma wins that game, they may not be able to pull this off, or it would have been a lot harder. But once they lost, and you know, Lincoln Riley was essentially out of the Big 12 race, out of the college football playoff race, they went all in. They were ready, and they put their best foot forward. And I don't think as a USC person, you can say that that's happened nearly enough in the last decade, that your program, with all that tradition, all those Heisman Trophy winners, absolutely went for it. And they did. And they got their guy. And I think they're now, with the support that they've created in the program, staffing-wise, resource-wise, facility-wise, they're going to give Lincoln Riley the best possible chance to win a national championship. Now he's going to have to go get it done. But the fact that he was sold on this idea coming from a very stable place. I mean, Oklahoma and Ohio State are probably the two most stable college football programs in history, at least the last 50, 60 years. But he left that environment to go to USC because he saw what they were selling. He saw that vision. And I think it's just a tremendous move for USC. We'll see if it works out with a national championship, but I think that's absolutely what they should expect in the next 5 to 6 years.
Probably want to know part of the SEC also. And if I can be honest, don't blame him. Don't blame Lincoln Riley for going to the Pac-12 instead. You better, you bet, BetQL Network. Terrific Tuesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, talking college football with the awesome Adam Rittenberg from ESPN and SiriusXM College Sports Radio. Adam, let's get your takes on some of the big games this weekend. Conference championship weekend in college football. Let's go to the big one. SEC championship game Saturday in Hotlanta, Georgia, 6.5-point favorite over Bama. Total here, 50.5. Curious how you see this one playing out. You know, Georgia, the number one, Georgia's in no matter what. Bama needs to win to get in, we think. How do you see it playing out in Atlanta?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think from what we've seen this year, this should be a Georgia win. It's just whether they can actually get it done against Alabama and Nick Saban, which Kirby Smart hasn't been able to do, even though he's had some really good chances. And even, other teams, Alabama wasn't overly impressive, certainly last week against Auburn, against LSU earlier. But Georgia's a better team. I think the total is an interesting one here, guys, because Alabama has played some low-scoring games, the LSU game, the Auburn game. Georgia defensively doesn't give up a whole lot. So I would probably look at going the under there. But I like Georgia here. It's just a dangerous one because Alabama, so rarely are they an underdog. And certainly a touchdown underdog. You just don't see him in that position very often.
Adam, I think it's worth a follow on this game, obviously, with Alabama and Georgia, both playoff mix. There's still a lot of discussion and debate, and I'm guessing on tonight's college football playoff ranking show on ESPN, I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of this question being asked, which is, if Alabama loses, are they out? And I feel like there's still a lot of disagreement about whether that's true. I think some will argue the margin of victory matters or the score of the game matters in terms of whether they're out or not. What's your best guess about how the committee is viewing the SEC championship game in terms of Alabama's candidacy to make the playoff?
If they put Alabama in, guys, with two losses and no SEC championship and a close loss to an average Auburn team, close win over an average Auburn team, a close win over a LSU team that fired its coach, a loss to a four-loss Texas A&M team, that would really discredit the entire system. There would be incredible outrage and justified outrage. I mean, I have great respect for Alabama, Nick Saban, and everything there, and so does the committee. But this Alabama team, if they were to lose, should absolutely be out of the playoff. There's no question in my mind, especially when you have some other options there. It would have to take utter chaos. Michigan losing in the Big Ten championship game. You'd have to have Cincinnati losing in the AAC title game. Baylor beating Oklahoma State in the Big 12. I guess it all could happen, but I really think it would set a horrible precedent to put a two-loss team in that didn't win its own conference.
Adam, let's close with this here. I'm going to give you a list of like all the big games this weekend and the spreads. You obviously don't have to give us like firm betting thoughts, but if anything really stands out, like you really like a team to win, an underdog to win, a team to win big, feel free to let us know. ACC Championship, Pittsburgh, a 3-point favorite against Wake. Michigan, an 11-point favorite against Iowa in the Big Ten Championship game. We've got OK State, 5.5-point favorite against Baylor, and Utah, 3-point favorite against Oregon. Any of those games stand out to you where you're like, wow, I really like a team to win the game, maybe win it big, or an underdog to win outright? We would love to hear your takes on all the big games there. Anyone stand out?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that Oregon, they've already lost to Utah once and got blown out and took them out of the playoff. And, they were in this position a couple of years ago, this exact matchup where Utah was trying to get in the college football playoff and Oregon just smashed them in this game. And so, they are good on this stage. Utah is not so good on this stage, even though they've been playing really, really well lately. So it wouldn't shock me at all if Oregon wins. Also, wouldn't shock me at all if Baylor covers. I think Baylor's going to go in kind of with a nothing to lose approach against Oklahoma State, which is a really good team, a terrific defense under coordinator Jim Knowles. But they, again, haven't really been in this position before. So I kind of like those ones. Probably stay away from Michigan, Iowa, just because the one thing about the Big Ten title game, guys, is that it's a completely different game than these teams have been playing. I was there last week. It was snowy. It was cold. Now they're going inside. Usually favors the faster, more athletic team, which is Michigan. But it's just a tricky one because it's so different from these games that these teams have been playing the last month or so.
Adam, you are so good at what you do. We love when you take a couple of minutes out of your day to come on You Better, You Bet, especially during a very, very busy time. We very much appreciate it. On Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN, and you can check him out on SiriusXM College Sports Radio. Adam, we really appreciate it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Safe travels. Hopefully you get some rest soon, and we'll talk to you down the line here on You Better, You Bet.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah.
He's so good.
And this is like his wheelhouse, like the behind the scenes stuff with the coaching moves, the committee. It's like the best time of year.
It is really fantastic. All right, we'll take a quick break here. And the gaggle of guests continues coming up in moments. We turn our attention to golf. James Mazzola from the For Profit Podcast joins Nick and Ken right after this. Winners on the links.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.